Scripture teaches that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's, I am the Lord, I change not. And I'm so thankful to be serving the living God today. Let's go ahead and get in our scriptures this morning. We're going to start in Ezekiel chapter 11 and kind of pull our key verse from there. We've been talking about, I guess we started over there in Hebrews, and where the Apostle Paul says that God in sundry times and divers manners has spoke to us in times past through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us through his Son. And so we've been kind of looking at that and seeing how the Son and the work, the finished work of Christ, and what it means to us as believers. And last week we were looking at that, the way of the lowly, and how, you know, that that God has called us unto the Creator. Just think about that for a second, that the Creator of the whole universe, the one that spoke everything into existence, desires to have a close, personal walk or relationship with you and I. Amen. Just as, you know, when we read in there and over in the Genesis where it talks about that God walked with Adam in the cool of the evening, and we see that closeness and we think, wow, how wonderful that would be. You know, we have that restored to us. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, you and I this morning have that type of relationship with the living God. Amen. That we can come to him and we can bring our cares to him. And, you know, it seems like, you know, the longer I serve the Lord, and I think, you know, maybe I've reached a certain point where I can say, okay, I understand now. And see, we just begin to touch the surface of what we have in Christ. Amen. What has been restored to us through Jesus. I mean, the way that was made that you and I could come together this morning and worship the Lord in spirit and in the truth, and know that without a doubt that he hears us and that he answers our prayer and that he cares for us. How many believe that this morning? Amen. I believe that, and I know you do as well, that he cares for his own, and I'm glad to be his child this morning. I want to start in Ezekiel chapter number 11, just to read a few verses there. And the title of our sermon this morning, I titled it, The New Spirit. And when we talk about a new spirit, that would imply that there would be an old spirit. And so we want to talk about that new spirit this morning, because so often when we read about in the Old Testament scriptures, and we have been doing that a little bit lately when we're studying, I guess even in this study in Hebrews, we looked at the old contrasting to the new and what we have now in this new covenant with Christ Jesus. And the new and the living way is the way the book of Hebrews describes it, that there is life here, that we have life in Christ Jesus. Marion was reading the verses there about resurrected life and the definition of resurrected life. The scripture gives us that we may know him, to know the Father, that we can know the Father, that we can have a fellowship with him and a closeness with him through Christ Jesus and the price that was paid for you and I. But we're talking about this new spirit. And Ezekiel talks about it over here in Ezekiel chapter 11, begin with verse number 17 there. It says, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. If you could think just for a second, as we studied a few Sundays ago, about the Israel of God and who the true Israel of God is. It was not those that were just born of natural descent. It was not those that were just naturally the children of Abraham. And I think the scripture in the New Testament especially makes that very clear, that he was going to call them a people who were not a people. Basically, a gathering together of those that may not be of kindred blood, but of kindred spirit. Amen. Those that have been born again of the Spirit. That's how Paul could make that statement, that not all Israel was Israel, because there was only going to be a remnant that was going to be saved. But I'm glad to know this morning that we, as believing Gentiles this morning, or whatever your heritage might be, we are children of faith, and we are the children of Abraham through the seed. He said, through thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And as we've looked already, that seed is Christ. And that's how we become the true Israel of God. As Marion was talking this morning about that true circumcision, it's those that are of faith in Jesus Christ. And so when we read this morning, he's talking about those that would put away. When I think about the first part of these few verses there, he said, I'm going to bring me together. I'm going to gather me a people, and they're going to put away detestable things. And so we've got to contrast that to the first covenant Israel. And how that so often, you know, that's a story of backsliding over and over again. It's a story of returning back to things that they had been brought out of. Even from the very beginning, when we find where God had pulled Israel out of Egypt, it says he led them out with a strong hand or a high hand. He says, I've done this by my might. He says, I've done it by my strength. He led them out. And it wasn't long before they got into the wilderness there that they begin to say, why have we come out of here? Why did we come out of the wilderness? So that we could be slain in the wilderness? It'd be good if we just died in Egypt. And so we see that over and over again where they were turning back unto Egypt. And said, but God says here through Ezekiel, he says, I'm going to call me out a people, and I'm going to gather me a people that they're not going to turn back to the detestable things, those pagan gods and pagan worship and making calves of gold. He said, but I'm going to turn their hearts toward me. And I'm going to give them a new heart. And I'm going to give them a new spirit. Aren't you thankful for a new spirit this morning? Listen to what the prophet says. It says, and they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. Even in the book of the Judges, we can read where they would raise up a judge that would judge the nation of Israel. And they would do right for a while, but before too long, they were turning back once again to the idol worship. And even when the kings come along, and we see where the king, a good king would rise up. And there were even those that would carry it a certain distance, but they wouldn't remove all the high places. There would be some high places left where they would continue to offer sacrifices to the idol, the false gods. But see, God says, I'm creating me a people. And I'm going to give them a new heart. And I'm going to give them a new spirit. Amen. A new spirit. He says in verse, and I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of the flesh. And will give them a heart of flesh. That they may walk in my statutes. Keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Amen. They shall be my, they're going to walk in my statutes. They're going to keep my ordinances. They're going to do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. A new heart, a new spirit. Thank God this morning for a new spirit. I mean, thank God to know that he has made a new and a living way. Ezekiel talks about this same thing again, just a few chapters over. And before we get over into the New Testament, let's look at that over in Ezekiel chapter number 36. And it's very similar words in verse 26. He says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. He says, I'm going to put whose spirit? I'm going to put my spirit within you. Amen. My spirit. God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. And that's why when we get all the way back, or all the way forward, I guess, if you want to be turning to the book of Acts, all the way over into the Acts of the Apostles. Amen. We love to go into the first couple chapters of the book of Acts and read the pouring out of the Spirit of God upon the first century church there. And if you know, you're familiar with the scriptures, you know how that the disciples and all that were following Jesus of his day had been instructed that they should go and tarry in Jerusalem till they be endued with power from on high. I mean, go and tarry till you receive power. I like the way, and I know I read this quite often, but when we get over into the first chapter of the book of Acts, I like the way Luke writes it. He said, "The former treaties have I made of thee, O Theophilus, all that Jesus both began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." So he commanded his apostles. He says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion," or after his suffering, after his death and on the cross and his resurrection. He says he showed himself alive. Now here's the way I like it. "After his passion, by many infallible proofs." Amen. How could the apostle Peter stand up on the day of Pentecost, as we're going to look at some of his message here this morning? How could he stand up and preach with such boldness and conviction? The same one that not long before that was cowering at a small little girl, and as he was being accused of being one of the followers, he says, "No, I'm not the man. That's not me. You're mistaken." But then here on the day of Pentecost, we're going to find him standing up with boldness and proclaiming the word of the Lord. How could he know that? How what made the change? Amen. What was the significant difference? Well, first off, we find where Jesus had showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, undeniable facts. You say, "Well, I don't believe it." Well, Peter did. Amen. He believed it enough to die for it. He believed it enough to stand up before those that were probably a tough crowd to preach to and say, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, where he said, 'In the last days I will pour out my spirit, my new spirit, upon all flesh.'" And so Peter was convinced enough where he stood up with boldness and preached it with conviction. He saw it. Many infallible proofs. He walked with them. After his resurrection, he walked with them for some 40 days. He taught them things pertaining, the scripture says, to the kingdom of God. I would have loved to have heard that message. Amen. I believe we probably got it in there somewhere. We got to pull it out. But Jesus taught his disciples when he got them together. He said, "Listen, I kind of like it into this." I remember when the children of Israel were come up to the edge of the promised land there in the wilderness of Paran, and they were preparing to go and inhabit the promised land. And God told Moses, he said, "I want you to pick you out one leader from each tribe. And I want you to send those leaders into the promised land and let them look at the land and see the lay of the land and see the people and the what the people were made of and where they dwelled and how their houses were." And so Moses did just that. He chose out some of it ended up being 12, what we call the 12 spies that went into the land. I'm not going to try to say all their names, but I know two of them. One by the name of Joshua and one by the name of Caleb. And the scripture talks about how they went into the land and they saw all the great the fruits and I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of it. I remember in Sunday school they used to have those pictures in our Sunday school lessons where those men were coming out carrying those grapes, and man, those grapes were big. I don't know how big the grapes were, but I know it was a big cluster of them. And so they come carrying out these grapes and the pomegranates and the fruits and the land. It was all that they expected it to be. But the only thing is that there were inhabitants in the land. Some of them were some pretty big people, pretty tall individuals, rather intimidating. And there was a group that came back and said, "Well, we're like grasshoppers in their eyes, in our eyes and in theirs." Amen. It says, yeah, it's a great land. It's a land of milk and flowing with milk and honey, but it's also a land that will eat us up. Matter of fact, the scripture says that their 10 came back and gave an evil report. Said, "We can't inhabit it. We can't dwell in this. We can't live this way. We can't receive these promises that we've been given because there's too many obstacles in our way. There's too many things to hinder us. The obstacles are too great. First, we've got to get across this river. And then from there, we've got these battles we're going to have to fight. And we're not talking, these people don't live in little shacks. They've got great walls. There's one right across the river when we face that. Their walls are, they race horses and chariots on top of the walls. They're so great. There's no way we can do it. But then the scripture says there was one from the tribe of Judah, nonetheless. I don't know if there's any connection there. By the name of Caleb, that says, we are able to receive these promises. We are able to dwell in the land. Matter of fact, he says, why are we waiting? Let us go up at once. The scripture says that he was of another spirit. Amen. He had a spirit, just like the rest of them. But the rest of them was a spirit of defeat. Oh, Lord, we can't do it. No way we can live the way God wants us to live. And there's no way we can dwell in this land and receive the goodness of God. It's just not going to happen. It's impossible. But yet there was one by the name of Caleb that said, listen, we are full able. If God be on our side, amen, if God will be for us, amen, as the scripture says, who can be against us? When we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, how many knows this morning we are full able to dwell in the land of the promise. The land that God has promised to those that serve him. And I'm not talking about a geographical place over there in the Middle East somewhere. I'm talking about in the kingdom of God. And so I kind of liken Jesus when he was sitting with his disciples after he was resurrected. And he says, listen, let me tell you about the kingdom of God. Let me tell you about the promised land. Let me tell you about where we can dwell as children of the living God, where you, if believing on me, can walk and live in this way. Let me tell you about it. But there would probably be those that said, listen, yeah, that all sounds good, Jesus. But we aren't able. But Jesus said, but you don't understand. I've went and prepared the place. Amen. I've made the way. Amen. I've made a highway unto our God. All you've got to do is just simply believe on me. As the scripture has said, and a new spirit shall flow out of your bellies. Even out of your belly shall flow living water. And so I kind of, when I think about Jesus as he was sitting with his disciples there, those 40 days, just as the spies that went into the land for 40 days and come back and said, two of them said, let's go, we can conquer. And there was many, some that said, we can't do it. Here's Jesus saying, listen, let me tell you about the kingdom of God. And let me tell you about what we have. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. I tell you what, through Jesus Christ and our faith and our new spirit that he's placed within our hearts, how many believes we can inherit, we can dwell in the land. Amen. We can dwell in the presence of God. And I'm not talking about out there somewhere. I'm talking about today, amen, that we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. I get tired. It wearies me when I continue to hear people, even Christians, say, well, we can't live this way. We can't walk this way. We can't keep his ordinances. We just can't do it. It's just, you know, we're going to continue to live the same old way. But I tell you what, Jesus says, I put a new heart. Put in a new spirit. There's something. I'm going to make the change. Amen. It's not just I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to put my spirit within. The spirit of the living God. Amen. That same spirit. That's why when Jesus says, he says, go and wait on the promise. And it says here, he says that he showed himself alive after many infallible proofs for 40 days. And speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, he ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Just go and wait for the promise. Go and wait until you be endued with power. Amen. You know, we can see the results in the apostles' lives and the disciples, and we can see the Spirit of God working in them and moving through them, and we can see them, you know, as Peter did, standing up boldly and preaching the gospel and saying, you know, this is that. This is what Joel prophesied of. These men aren't drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the, what do you say, third hour? I think it was like 9 o'clock in the morning would be our time. He said, of course they're not drunk. But they were acting in such a way that the people would begin to mop and say, what is this? You know, there were many that were in present at that time in the city of Jerusalem there for the Pentecost and the Feast of the Pentecost. There was many that were from all different regions. My fact of the Scripture says of the whole earth, basically, that there were people that were present from all over. And the Bible talks about how that the Spirit of God descended upon them and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance, and they couldn't understand how that they heard in their own tongue, many different tongues. They began to hear the works of God. They began to hear these men glorify God, glorify the God in the works that he did. And that's when Peter stood up and said, they aren't drunk. This is that which was spoken of. This is the power. This is where we receive our strength. We can read that. We can read about, you know, not long after that, Peter and John walking through the gate there, and there's a lame man, reach them, silver and gold, have I none, such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And we see where that man received his strength and begin to walk, leap, and praise God. And all these great works that we see that the apostles doing, why? Because they had received power. Amen. It was the Spirit of the living God. The very same Spirit. Look what John says, if you'll turn there with me. He says it over in John chapter number 7. I tell you what, let's do. Put a bookmark there in Acts. We might come back to there in a second. But look what, actually it's Jesus speaking these words, of course, in the Gospel of John. And it's in chapter 7, John chapter 7. And let's just start with verse number 37 there. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Doesn't that sound good this morning? Doesn't that sound refreshing? Out of his bellies, out of his innermost being, all down in the deep in the inside shall flow rivers of living water. Well, what does he mean by that, rivers of living water? Well, you don't have to rely on me this morning. We have it here in verse 9. It says, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So he was comparing the Holy Ghost to the receiving of the new Spirit as a river of living water. Isaiah uses this same idea way back in his book, and I'll go there. If you want to turn with me, you can. It's over in Isaiah chapter number 44. And I'm just going to read three verses there. Isaiah 44, starting with verse 1. It says, yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jerusalem, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. When I read that, I get the idea of, you know, I think of a ground that's dry, barren, not bringing forth any seed or fruit. But then here, through Isaiah the prophet, God speaks and says, I'm going to pour water upon the dry ground, the ground that doesn't bring forth fruit. And another place there, he says, I'm going to send them the former and the latter rain. And to the point where there's so much rain where, you know, the fruit and all the vegetation just grows up out of the ground. And it's an idea of something that was dry and barren, but rain is poured upon it and it brings forth fruit. Amen. How many knows that that's what the Spirit of God does in our life? You know, it's no less powerful today than it was back in the first century. Amen. The same Spirit that moved upon these men, the same Spirit of God. Matter of fact, Jesus says it even a little bit later, if I can turn to it quickly. He says over in the same place there in John, we're still in John chapter 14. Listen to the way he says it over here, talking about this new Spirit. He says, remember what Peter says, is in the last days I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh. My Spirit, he said. Over in John 14, the Gospel of John, Jesus says it this way, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Amen. It says he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Don't let the pronouns there throw you, because it wasn't uncommon when Jesus was referring, when he says he there, he wasn't talking about some other person, some other being. So often he would do that. He would use things, glorify thy son with the glory that he had with thee from the beginning. And he was referring to himself. Well, here he says, he's with you. He abideth with you. But he shall be in you. Amen. We're talking about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the living God dwelling in believers. So I'm going to put in a new heart and a new spirit. Amen. Not weakened, not watered down, not condensed, but the Spirit. We're talking about the same Spirit that the book of Genesis said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, upon the waters, and God said, let there be. We're talking about that Spirit. We're talking about the same Spirit that when it descended upon the mountain there with Moses and the children of Israel, that they drew back and were exceedingly fearful. The same Spirit that moved upon the Old Testament prophets, that, and they would begin to utter words that thus saith the Lord, that same Spirit. The same Spirit that even when they would go in and offer the sacrifices into the holy place, the Holy of Holies, the Scripture said, and the Spirit of God would dwell there in the midst of the holy place, that same Spirit. The same Spirit where, I guess it was Joseph, when the angel appeared to him and said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is in her is conceived of the Holy Ghost, amen, or the Holy Spirit of God. The same one that John saw when he said, when I baptized him and brought him up out of the water, I saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove. That same Spirit dwells in you and I. That's something to get excited about, isn't it? Man, well, what we have as believers, that the Spirit of the living God dwells inside of us. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. He says, it's expedient that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. And he says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Amen. I will not leave you comfortless. The comforter will come. I guess the Greek word I've heard give there was the paracletus, the advocate, the intercessor. Amen. He says he will come. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you, amen, without a father, a parentless. I won't leave you orphans. I will come to you. Amen. The same Spirit, the Scripture says, that raised Jesus from the dead, amen, dwells in believers today. Amen. Dwells in us. I like the way Paul puts it, and he says, he has placed this treasure in earthen vessels. Amen. Just old, what I heard one preacher say one time, just a bunch of old crackpots. That's what an earthen vessel is, just a vessel made of clay. Even you and I, these old bodies, I mean, but yet God has chose to dwell in his people. Put this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power is of him, is of God, and not of us. Amen. Father, we lean on you. God, every day of our life, Lord, we need you. Lord, we need your Spirit to direct our steps, God, to keep us. Amen. I can't even walk down the front porch without falling. Amen. I can't even, step out and that's just every day of our life. Every day I pray, when I leave the house, sometimes I say, God, be with my family. Keep them. And it ain't me keeping them when I'm there. It's him. Lord, keep my step. Amen. Order our steps, Father. Amen. So often, the Spirit of God that, people get caught up when you start saying, the Spirit of God, the Lord spoke to me, and they get so, you actually heard God speak? Amen. He speaks in our heart. Amen. He speaks in our spirit. And so often I find myself walking in the way of God and walking in the will of the Lord and, not even knowing that I had made this step this way. That God just uses us in some way, and you find, and all it does is humble you, doesn't it? It don't make you haughty. Shouldn't lift us up in pride. We just say, well, Lord, I'm just a big dummy. I didn't even see you working in this situation. Amen. But God, use us, Father. Amen. Dwell in the promised land, and not just dwell there, but be able to partake of the fruits. Amen. God's going to bring fruit out of our life, isn't he? That was the whole point. He says, I'm taking the vine, I'm taking this vineyard from this one and giving it to one that will do what? That will render the fruit. Amen. Then this new covenant that we have, the Spirit of God dwelling in us, the whole point, or one of the main points, I would say, the reason he took it from the first one, because they weren't bringing forth fruit. But he says, I'm going to give it to one that's going to bring forth the fruit. Amen. Just bring forth fruit. Be fruitful. We want to be fruitful as a church, don't we? As a body. My prayer is this. God, use us. As just this little group of people, God, use us to bring forth fruit in our day. Help us to reach out to our world and those that are around us, Lord. Let your spirit, this new spirit that's within us, direct us. And just as, when Jesus told his disciples, he said, they were going to be brought before leaders and kings. And, these men, they were just a bunch of fishermen. What in the world were they going to say? I mean, what could they say to a king? And Jesus said, no, don't take no thought for what you're going to say, because I'll give you the words. Amen. The Spirit of God will speak to you. The Holy Ghost, that Comforter, will speak to you and give you the words to say. And not only that, he said there was many things that he was teaching them when he was walking with them. Many things they didn't understand. They would argue even to the point of, don't let this be so, Lord. And Jesus would be like, there's going to come a day you're going to understand this. You don't understand it now, but the Spirit will speak it to you. The words that I give you now. And they would do that. There were things in the book of Acts you can find where when something would happen or something would take place and the Spirit of God would trigger a thought or something that Jesus had told them. And they'd be like, oh, I remember now. I understand. I understand what you mean. Lord, that's the Spirit of God. He said, you shall receive power. Amen. Power. Thank you, Lord, for the power. God, let it work in our lives, in our day. It's not just for physical healings, although I believe that it is. I believe God still heals. But, you know, you can be lame and still enter the kingdom of God. Amen. You can be healed and still die lost. You can have a physical healing. But God, use us to bring fruit into the kingdom of God. God is able to give us words to speak. He's able to give us power. He's able to help us to stand faithful. Amen. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Amen. That's the Spirit of God in our hearts. Amen. He's able to go to someone, some lost loved one. The Spirit of God can take a heart of stone, someone that seems like they're so far away and there's no way that they would ever come to God. You know, the Spirit of God is able to touch that heart. Amen. And put in a heart of flesh. Amen. That's our God. This is a spiritual work. It's not something natural. It's not something fleshly or carnal that we can make happen. Amen. I'd love to see, you know, the place full of people, but in the end, it's the Spirit of God that's got to touch hearts and stir people, man, and use them and bring them into his kingdom. It's the work of the Spirit. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the new heart today? Amen. The new heart.